Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peace. It's a common word in a season like this. Driving down the main street by my house today, I saw that the city of Lake Forest had up its banners. In fact, they had them up before Thanksgiving as usual, wishing us the themes of the season: peace, joy, hope, whatever such things mean on El Toro Road. Holiday greetings, nice thoughts, words we inscribe on cards or write on ornaments, a wish, a hopeful greeting, and too often a greeting without much substance or real meaning. Have a nice day. Be good. Buy more. It's almost a cliche, isn't it? Something people hardly even know what it means or why they're up. But one truth quite simply remains: what this world needs now is peace. With horror, we turn our eyes to the events of Ferguson, Missouri, where whatever happened on that fateful night and whatever the grand jury heard, we see pent-up frustration after years and years of trouble and a lack of trust. And we see rioting spreading through the country following that event, and even today a new episode, as another ruling was held in New York City and people weren't satisfied. And again, protests. We'll see where they end up. What the world needs is peace. As we look at threats around the world, ISIS continuing to threaten various countries, to recruit others to join them by the hundreds and thousands, the nation of Iraq at the table to negotiate over nuclear weapons, and it seems that nothing changes over it, and our own country embroiled in one of the longest conflicts of our history, a never-ending war that never seems to get anywhere. What the world needs now is peace. We look around our culture and we see a lack of civility, people attacking people who disagree with them at the slightest provocation, not listening to what's really being said, simply looking to score points and gain more power and control. It's never good enough. The other side must be defeated. Everyone's polarized. What the world needs now is peace. And how's your life? What are the conflicts and the challenges and the struggles that you face? Would you add your own situation to this list that I've just given? Is it peace that you need? But it's nothing new to our generation, is it? Throughout the centuries, the millennia, humankind has often cried out for peace under various circumstances. And we see an example of that in our reading from Isaiah 64. God's people Israel cried out for peace and deliverance, and they knew exactly how they wanted it to come. Feeling threatened by external adversaries, they wanted God to come and bring peace in a way that they would decree. They wanted it, quite simply, by God bringing destruction to their enemies. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down," they cry out. "Tear open the sky and descend upon the earth." And you can almost hear a note behind it: "And all the rest of you nations, just wait till our Father gets home, because he's going to tear the sky open and come down amongst us. Oh, that you would come with fire, the kind of fire that kindles brushwood and causes water to boil," Isaiah says. "Come and rain down fire on our enemies and show your power." You were probably thinking of Elijah at Mount Carmel battling the prophets of Baal when fire from heaven showed the supremacy of God. Or maybe thinking to an even more surprising moment of deliverance as an Egyptian army was coming down upon the people of Israel at the shores of the Red Sea, and a pillar of fire blocked their progress until Israel would go to safety and the army be defeated. Or maybe, just maybe, they were asking for the coming of the end of days, when the heavenly fire would consume all of God's enemies and vindicate his people. O God, rend the heavens and come with your destructive power and deliver us from those who are opposed to us. And it's a bold prayer, but God had a history of acting in unexpected, miraculous ways, of intervening in ways that nobody else could understand at just the right moment. So why not now, when they felt so desperate and alone? Everyone, O Lord, everyone knew you, who you were and what your power is, when you acted with that power. So come on, Lord, show this world who's who. Put them in their place. This was the cry of Israel. And might we join our voices to them? Tear open the sky, O Lord, and come down in your power to destroy our enemies. Come down, O Lord, and kill the terrorists. Smash the hostile nations. Come down, O Lord, and give me what I'm crying for. Give me my needs in my own way. Thwart the efforts of those who seem to make my life so difficult. Take out the people who cause me problems. Come down in fire, O Lord, and burn up disease, cancer and heart disease and Alzheimer's and everything else. Come, O Lord, tear open the sky and show no mercy. Bring the peace that comes through total victory, through superior firepower. Peace through divine firepower. Let's be honest. We've all called out for justice like that, have we not? Perhaps not expecting it as fervently as Israel was, but would we not all like God to tear open the heavens and come down in that powerful act and put all things right? But be careful what you wish for. For if God comes with retribution and judgment, who will stand? The prophet acknowledges the challenge. We have been in our sins for a long time, he writes. And shall we be saved? We, your own people, have become like one who is unclean, like the kind of people on whom we are calling judgment. We're guilty, for we have turned against the Lord your God. And though we might protest, though we might hold up the things that we have done and the many efforts that we make to try to do the right thing, Isaiah gives a scathing judgment even on that, that all of our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. Not all of our sins, that's obvious. But even the best that we try to offer is still unclean, polluted, needing redemption. What we offer is quite simply never enough. And so we fade like a leaf, Isaiah writes, dried up, insubstantial, blown away by the slightest temptation or trial or problem, bringing us to the place where no one calls upon the name of the Lord, because we look only to ourselves. Be careful what you wish for if you call upon God for judgment. For we have no place to call down judgment on others when we fall under the same verdict. For when we cry out, God, why don't you stop that person? We ought be crying out, God, why don't you stop me? Why don't you put an end to those hypocrites? Includes this hypocrite in the same mix. Why don't you put an end to all those people who cause problems? reflects just as well on the speaker as on those we are condemning. We call on God to stop us, to destroy us, to consume us with fire. Rend the heavens and come down, O Lord. Words that ought to fill us with fear and dread, not peace. But God is a God of surprises. God chooses to come when He will, and God comes with all of His gracious, merciful character. God does, in fact, tear open the heavens and come into this existence, into our world, into our lives, not in fire, not in destruction, but in grace. We don't deserve it. We could hardly hope for it, and at times we don't even want it. But it's who God is. God still acts because of who He is. And so in the fullness of time, God answered the cry of His people and tore open His creation to become part of it, to come down, not in balls of fire and destruction, but in flesh and blood, not in crushing power, but in humble weakness, not announced by armies of angels with flashing swords, but in songs of victory, in praises of shepherds, seen by the humble and the weak. This God comes not in destruction, but as a child, who Isaiah has prophesied has a name: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This God comes in our flesh, sinless and perfect, the only one whose righteous acts were indeed righteous, the only one who hadn't become unclean. God comes in the flesh to bear our failures, our sins, our weaknesses, and then to bear our punishment, to receive the crushing judgment of sin, to receive the fiery flames of pain and rejection and forsakenness. God comes to make peace in the only way it could be made, through His own blood shed on a cross. Colossians 1:20 says that God through Him would reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace by the blood of His cross. There God made peace. There you find forgiveness and grace. There God has made you His own child once more. Or as St. Paul says in Romans 5, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sin borne by the Lord Jesus, all of our guilt taken away, now the coming of our Lord is the sweetest gift of all. For He comes not to judge, not to destroy, but in peace, in love. And so the prophet calls out at the end of our reading, but now, O Lord, now, because of what You have done in our Savior, You are our Father, not our judge. But now, O Lord, we are the clay, and You are the potter, gently and lovingly taking us in His own hands and shaping us bit by bit into the people that He wants us to be. People that are beautiful, people that serve the purpose that He has for us, people who serve their neighbors, people who are shaped into a vessel so that he can fill that vessel with his gifts and his blessings. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And he does. He comes down to fill us. To fill us with his gifts. To fill us with his love. To fill us with his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now the peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise to sing the Magnificat.